its current state on WKAR, although the Michigan State Spartans fell just short of a regular season Big Ten championship in 2016. They came up big in Indy this weekend, and current sports host Al Martin was there. What a weekend.
What a weekend.
What
I'm still,
a pair of games.
Yeah, crazy games. I'm still wiping the crust out my eyes, Mark, from the drive last night. But, man, riding high from the excitement. Gotta love March.
What do these two victories over Purdue and Maryland mean, pointing ahead to the big dance?
Well, one, I think, Mark, this team is peaking right now. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And as I mentioned, I mean, this team can handle adversity. That's the biggest takeaway for me when looking at what took place this weekend, specifically against Maryland and Purdue. When things got tight down the stretch of both of those games, Michigan State did not fold, Mark. And you saw other players step up other than, of course, your usual suspects. Mm-hmm. Denzel Valentine did what Denzel Valentine does. I mean, 15 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists against Purdue. The game prior to that, 18 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds against Maryland. Really flirting with a triple-double. Then the game before that, Ohio State, 19 points, 8 assists, 9 boards. But it's the other players that stepped up that really shows how this team has matured over time, Mark.
Name one for us.
Against Purdue, I mean, looking at these names, get this. Gavin Schilling, Marvin Clark, Colby Wolliman, who was huge, Matt McQuaid, Tum Tum Nairn Jr., Alvin Ellis, all guys on the bench that chipped in other than the game starters. Mm-hmm. That's called depth. And that's something I've said about this Michigan State team all year. They can legitimately go, Mark, 15 deep on the squad. And that's so impressive. And then going against a team like Purdue that, of course, they have the Twin Towers down low in Caleb Swanigan, Isaac Haas, and A.J. Hammonds, we saw players like Colby Wolinman and Matt Costello, the bigs of Michigan State, step up. It was really surprising to me that, you know, you look at that loss that Michigan State had to Purdue earlier in the year, in which they lost by 1 point in overtime. Mm-hmm. Michigan State out-rebounded Purdue. They out-rebounded those bigs by 10, 41-31 rebounding advantage. So takeaway from the weekend, this team in crunch time can deliver even without, again, their starting shooter, Bryn Forbes, not lighting it up from deep as well.
Some are seeing MSU's number 2 seed in the Midwest bracket as something of a slight. What do you make of it?
I agree with it. I can't hold you up, Mark. Michigan State not being a number 1 seed really was one of the big surprises when that bracket came out last night, seeing as though Virginia is a number 1 seed. Mm-hmm. And Virginia failed to win the ACC regular season title and failed to win the ACC regular season tournament. You know, end of season tournament, I should say, over the weekend, which is so crazy to me. I don't know if there's ever been a number 1 seed that hasn't won their respective regular season conference title and not won their also conference tourney title at that. So that's surprising. MSU had an 8 RPI. They had, top 50 wins. They won, 15 of their last 14 games. Virginia had glaring losses to teams like George Washington, V-Tech, Georgia Tech, Florida State, Miami. And I think the general consensus mindset for Michigan State was that if they at least got to the semifinals, Mark, they deserved to be a number 1 seed, let alone win the entire Big Ten tournament. So it was surprising. Talk to Izzo and other personnel of the team, and that was the big storyline. Do you guys feel slighted that you aren't a number 1 seed? And they all felt, gave the cliche answer that, we don't care. We'll play anybody. Right. We don't care. It is what it is. That's the committee.
Now, some are saying that Virginia, who MSU defeated in last year's tournament,
exactly,
too, by the way,
right,
would trade that seed for the chance to avoid facing Michigan State again.
I think we're grasping at straws on that one, Mark. I think that Virginia, I mean, any team who, especially Virginia, they know that Michigan State took them out the tourney last year. I don't think they want to avoid Michigan State. Would it be an easier path if Michigan State wasn't in their bracket? Of course, because Michigan State right now, according to many people, is a big favorite to win this whole thing. But Virginia remembers what took place last year, a 60-54 loss in the East region. That propelled Michigan State to the Sweet 16. We all know how, at the time, Travis Trice just went completely off. He threw up 23 points and scored 13 of the first 15 points for Michigan State, mm-hmm, in that game. Virginia, they remember that. They want a bit of revenge in that game. So I would argue otherwise, the complete opposite of that notion, Mark.
Is MSU in the best bracket to stay on track to the Final Four? Is that the reward, in a sense, for not getting the number one seed?
Playing in the Midwest region, Mark, sure. when you compare it to the other three regions, I think it is the easier path. If Michigan State is going to get to a Final Four, and seeing as though, you know, when things are said and done in the Midwest region, I mean, you're playing in Chicago, which isn't far from Michigan. I tell you what, if they make it to Chicago, much of that stadium is going to be green and white. So without a doubt, I mean, you look at the other regions out there, they're not playing. They don't have to go against a Kentucky. You know what I mean? They don't have to go against Kansas unless they make it to the final, well, the national championship game. So, yes, I do believe that this region is the easiest path for Michigan State to get there, but they can't take any team for granted because there is so much parity in this year of college basketball, Mark.
What raised an eyebrow for you on selection, on the selection show here? Any surprising inclusions or any surprising omissions?
Well, again, I can go back to Michigan State not being a number one seed, but, you know, Oregon and Virginia as number one seeds, while MSU is not. Again, I keep harping on that because it was so glaring. It was so glaring. And looking at, you know, the statement that Oklahoma athletic director Joe Castiglione, that he said, you know, as to why Michigan State wasn't a number one seed, he talked about Oregon's, you know, third rated strength of schedule and number two RPI and kind of harped on the same when it comes to Virginia. But he said it was a very tough decision. It was an argument that was happening when concerning Michigan State being a number one seed. And also, you know, this is good. It's so difficult around this time of the year because there isn't like a Kentucky of last year, where Kentucky entered the tournament last year undefeated. There is not that one juggernaut that you can clearly look at has the best chance to win this whole thing. Get this, Mark. A glaring stat, looking at the weekend when it comes to the postseason tournaments. Mm-hmm. Out of 31 postseason tournaments this past weekend, only 10 of them, only 10, were won by top seeds. That's it. That's it. That's a glaring, glaring stat that shows that anybody can win this thing this year. You thought your bracket was in the trash after the first weekend? You might as well throw it away right now, Mark, before you even get started, all right?
Interesting to think, too. Seeing the Oklahoma official here, Joe Castiglione.
Right.
Next year, that'll be Mark Hollis.
Isn't it
up
something?
There on CBS on the selection program. You made a point, though, here that, I mean, Denzel Valentine is seen often as the quote franchise player here for the Spartans, but you made a powerful case here for the importance of depth on this team. Which would you say is more important in the postseason, the depth or that Denzel really do well?
Oh boy, that's a really good question. I would say depth, Mark, because at some point these teams know that Denzel Valentine is going to be a catalyst, and they're going to start to hone in on him. You're going to start to see teams key in on him and double team him. Will his teammates step up in those moments is a big question that a lot of teams don't have the luxury in feeling confident in saying yes. And another thing, though, Bryn Forbes, again, a guy who I believe is the best shooter in college basketball, and he's also another stud for this team, but what's also telling for this team that speaks to that depth, Mark, is that Bryn Forbes, he didn't shoot lights out. He had 9 points, 1 of 6 from the three-point line against Purdue, 4 points, 0 of 4 from the three-point line in the game prior to that against Maryland. But at the same time, his teammates stepped up. And again, give a lot of credit to Kobe Wolliman last night. How fantastic was he yesterday afternoon? 4 points, 5 rebounds,
really
1 assist.
Really noticeable. I was really happy for him.
Oh, boy, he was great. And a great defensive effort against the bigs down low for him as well. So I think depth is more important to answer your question, Mark.
More from WKAR current sports host Al Martin every weekday at 1 p.m. on AM 870 WKAR. Current sports on WKAR TV returns after a brief hiatus next Thursday evening, the 24th at 10 p.m. Al Martin, thank you.
Hey, thank you, Mark.